and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, January 16th. Happy Resurrection Day, and happy birthday to our pastor, Wayne. Wayne, happy birthday. We hope that you have a great one. Today we will be in Genesis chapter 15, Psalm 38, and Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. I am reading from the New International Version. Genesis 15. The title says, God's Covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites had not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. The land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Before we move on, let's talk a little bit about this covenant ceremony that Abram and God make together. During covenant-making ceremonies in Abram's day, I don't know how we know this, but I've read it, and Amanda, who is my engineer behind the podcast today, told me that she learned this at Beeson, that people in Abram's day would make these covenants where they would split an animal and they would divide the sides of the animal, and then both parties would walk through the middle to signify their covenant with one another, that if either of them broke the covenant, then they would end up like the animal cut in two. And so this is the covenant that God and Abram are making. But you'll notice that God and Abram do not walk together in the midst of the offering. Instead, there's this deep darkness that comes, and God passes through the pieces. Now, it's not clear that it's God, but these are manifestations of God, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch. So this is a visible manifestation of the Lord himself. And he is the one that passes in the midst of the animal parts. And so God alone takes upon himself the covenant of responsibilities. So he knows that Abram and others will fail him, but he will remain faithful to the covenant that the people of Abraham's descendants will one day acquire the land that he has promised to Abram's family. Amanda also told me one other thing that's very interesting to ponder. Perhaps this is a foreshadowing of the fact that Jesus took on our sin. Just like Abram didn't have to walk through the midst of the covenant ceremony to say, oh, if I break my end of the covenant, then this will happen to me. God himself walks through and says, I will take on your sin. I will be the one to pay the price if you break the covenant. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. I pray that today that will not just be words, that that would be something that moves our hearts to praise the Lord for what he has done for us. He has done for us something that we cannot do for ourselves. Okay, let's move on to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 38. In my Life Application Study Bible, each psalm has a theme written out, and I think the theme for today is helpful. It says, sorrow for sin brings hope. God alone is the true source of healing and protection for those who confess their sins to him. A Psalm of David, a petition. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot deception. I am like a deaf man who cannot hear, like a mute who cannot open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my foot slips. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil slander me when I pursue what is good. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. And now let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. Today we are reading verses 1 through 23. The title in my Bible says, Clean and Unclean. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were uncleaned, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. and they observe many other traditions, just as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." In this passage, there is so much I would like to discuss with you. If you are reading along in a physical Bible, you might notice that in verse 3, there is a parenthesis there. And in this parenthesis, Mark is explaining for his Gentile audience about what it means for clean and unclean, or things to be washed ceremonially. He says, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing." And then he goes on to talk about cups and pitchers and kettles. He is explaining for Gentiles who are reading this gospel about Jewish tradition. So that's one thing that is interesting and of note. The second thing that I think is interesting is that he quotes Isaiah, or actually Jesus talks about Isaiah and says, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" Today we want to pray that instead of hearts that are far from God, that we have hearts that serve the Lord, that we have hearts that are devoted to God, and souls that are devoted to Him, and minds that are devoted to Him. And so as we pray together, let us think on these things. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to read your word. We thank you for Wayne, and we ask that you would bless him on his birthday. And we thank you for the reminders of your resurrection each Sunday. Thank you, Lord, that you rose from the dead. The gospel is such good news to us. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for the ways that we fail you. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Lord, we want to be a people whose heart is undivided. We want to be a people who love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us not to be like those who show their religious acts. Help us instead to be people who are really devoted to you, people who are seeking you daily, and those who want to show you to a world around them that is in darkness. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.